It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's time for quarter number two. I am Jim Galante, sitting in for Dustin Hawkinsmith. Sitting in for the great Greg Pickle is Andrew P. Shea. However, that does not mean you don't get your fix of the great Greg Pickle. On the line from Chicago, Mr. Greg, how are you?
Hey, fellas, I'm doing great. Glad to be back with you. And it sounds like I just need to get on base for the old Todd Sadowski to hit a line drive double this morning and knock me in. So let's get after it.
That's exactly it. You get on, and then we'll go to the power of our good buddy Todd Sadowski. Greg, how's Chicago treating you? Having fun out there?
It's good. It's a good trip, guys. And I think Penn State's contingent is really joining as well. James Franklin, Nick Scott, Amani Oruwariye, and Trace McSorley spent all day Monday doing interviews and various media opportunities from television to radio to newspapers. I mean, they knocked it all out. And I think, you know, as much as they're probably glad it's over with, it's also, again, an annual staple on the calendar and a sign that the season is almost here. You know, it's pretty incredible to think that July has sort of rumbled by the way it has, and we're almost here to August from the start of camp. But that is indeed the case, and these guys and the rest of their fellow Big Ten peers seem ready for it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Greg, media day, just to have some news going on about college football is great, but the best news, you hit it, is it means the season's not that far away. Before we get into any nitty-gritty, let me just, in general, what's your reaction to James Franklin, his appearance there? As you said, he dealt with a lot of the media. Give us your overall impression.
Yeah, I mean, I think, guys, the biggest takeaway I had from yesterday is that there's still a crack for Vanny Bowen to return to this Penn State football team, the veteran linebacker.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, you know, Andy, it's interesting. I mean, he didn't come out and say, no, there's no way. He didn't come out and say, yes, there's a way. He very much played it, I don't even know if I'd call it down the middle. He basically said, I just want to talk about who's on the roster right now, which, you know, he said, if there's any roster updates, we'll announce them, which, of course, to me says, they're probably going to announce this at some point in the near future, one way or the other. So, I mean, look, is Manny Bowen 100% coming back? I would say it's probably not 100%, guys, but it's probably higher than the 50% I would have given it before we arrived here in Chicago. But I just thought the way he answered that was a little bit much. I mean, I just don't see any good reason why you can't just come out and say, yes, there's a way that he can come back, or no, there's certainly no way at all. It just seems like a more simple, straightforward way to go about it, but that's not the answer we got. So it's the one that really sort of jumped out at me. I also think, too, that, guys, we've talked about it for quite a bit. It sounds to me like there's a decent chance Michael Mennett and Connor McGovern could flip positions in summer camp, or at the very least, Penn State's going to experiment with the idea of Mennett playing center and Connor McGovern playing guard. But I thought that wasn't the interesting part. The interesting part was how, direct and blunt James Franklin was about the fact that it's really Trace McSorley's call. I mean, obviously the coaching staff makes the final call, but they're not going to do something he's uncomfortable with. So the quarterback and the Heisman hopeful will play a big role in that conversation as well.
A couple things of what we talked about, and I want to ask you follow-ups. The Manny Bowen thing struck me as James is standing on one side of the door, and he's opened the front door, but Manny still has to get through the screen door to come inside. Like, I say it's probably 70-30, 80-20 that he's back on the roster, but it felt like the door's open, but he hasn't come in the screen door yet. Do you get that impression as well?
Yeah, you know, I think so. I think that there's probably one or two things left he needs to do. It's one or the other. It's either he is ready to come through the screen door and Penn State just hasn't officially welcomed him in yet, hence no announcement, or he's still opening the door and talking to James Franklin and his coaching staff through the screen.
Yeah.
And there's still some things to iron out. I mean, it's somewhere in the middle, and again, we got absolutely no clarity from the situation here in Chicago. So time will tell. I mean, at some point, if he's coming back, he has to get onto the field and start working out eventually. But, there's nothing that says he can't come back, you know, sometime late, a little bit further down the road and join the team, like, some walk-ons tend to do in the middle of the year. So there's obviously a long shelf life and a long window for Penn State to figure this out. But you guys know as well as I do, you can't just walk back onto the field and be ready to compete at the Big Ten level. So time will tell.
Could it also be, Greg, that there's some parameters he hasn't quite met yet, whether it's, you know, in the classroom or some other things that James Franklin has established. Here's what we need to see from you. So far, we've gotten 4 out of 5, but he still has to get the last item in the books.
Yeah, Jim, absolutely. I mean, anything's possible when it comes to this situation, just simply because, you know, again, James was, you know, everything he said and the way he went about saying it just indicates that, you know, the door is certainly still open. It's not slammed shut. So, yeah, I mean, if I had to make a best guess, that would be my assumption, that there are some things that they're trying to finish ironing out. And, you know, whether he can complete those and make his way back in, we'll see. But two things are readily apparent, that there's been no denial about the innuendo and rumor, as James Franklin put it, that he could come back. And there's also no denying that he's still enrolled at Penn State, which will give him the opportunity to do so.
The other thing that you mentioned, and both things that you mentioned, I took away that it was pretty clear that his third-year starter quarterback has the keys. And if he's not riding shotgun, he's riding shotgun most of the time, if not all the time, in terms of the leadership and decision-making, which you usually don't throw in the hands of a player, but it sounds like Trace has more of a decision, an input on decision-making process when it comes to the offense in this team. That's one. And two, I thought James, I want your impression of this. I think James threw the gauntlet down to the offensive line while introducing the Mennett to McGovern thing and said they still have to figure some things out. He basically said, we've got some more coaching help on the offensive line, and basically it is time. Did you get that impression as well? It is time for these guys to be something more than just part of the offense. It's time for them to be the strength of the offense.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that, Andy. I'll start with the offensive line one. It was quite clear that I don't know if it's fair to say he was challenging that group, because they shouldn't need challenge at this point. They're right. A veteran, a senior-laden group that, I mean, look, there's no challenges left to be made as far as I'm concerned. It's just time to go out and do it.
Right. He was just throwing it at their feet, like, boys, it is your time.
And I thought, you make a good point I was going to get to, but I thought that was really interesting that he made note of the fact that Tyler Bowen, the new tight end coach,
right,
who has pretty much coached, I think, every position on the offense or darn close to it, and he's also been an offensive coordinator. I thought it was really, really interesting that he made light of the fact that he's been helping out Matt Limegrover, and that Matt Limegrover appreciates that. But I mean, you add to that little nugget into the fact that this is a senior group that has its arguably deepest unit, you know, in years and maybe even on this year's team. And there's no reason left to not be able to go out and do it at this point, guys. They just have to, you know, again, finally go out and put it all together. And at the end of the day, we'll see if they can. And if they can, Penn State's going to be much better off for it. And then as for Trace McSorley, yeah, I mean, I just think that him and Ricky Ronnie are so close, and they've been together for so long now that at the end of the day, those two guys are really going to be the key, along with the offensive line, to Penn State season.
Greg, were you also surprised about James's candor of where the concerns are? I'm thinking specifically, I heard him talk about defensive tackle, middle linebacker. I'm not used to that kind of candor.
Yeah, you know, I think probably the biggest reason he went that direction was simply because there's no way to dispute it. I mean, going into camp, I mean, hey, Penn State had a heck of a run with a walk-on middle linebacker playing a lot of snaps in Brandon Smith, but it's just not, for a program that's recruited well at the linebacker spot of late, it's a little bit disconcerting, I think, to hear Jan Johnson's name being thrown around as a, you know, potential starter. You know, a very good player, a walk-on, but, you know, he's not a guy that, you know, matches the hype, if you will, with the guys you had coming in. So I thought that was pretty interesting, and I think, you know, we'll see how all that plays out. The problem, and he spelled out a little bit later in the day, is that you need your middle linebacker to be your eraser, is the term he used. You need him to be your traffic cop, your guy that confidently changes things at the line of scrimmage before a play. And it's hard to do that when you, excuse me, when you use a true freshman in that role. So, you know, something like a Parsons, Jesse Lucado, maybe could fill that job, but it's just hard to do. Jan Johnson has played a lot of football. He has that going for him, so we'll see. And then defensive tackle guys, it's pretty much the same way. And you have Robert Windsor and Kevin Givens, but then what? I mean, that's really the huge question mark at this point. It's just hard to figure out exactly what this group is. They have a lot of young talent, but it hasn't been realized yet.
Okay, Greg, we're not going to let you get out from Big Ten Media Days talking just about football. We're going to make you, we're going to bring you in on a little bit of recruiting. And then there were 12 in the 2019 class on Monday. Penn State added offensive guard Salim Worley, 4-star from Delaware, 6'3", 320 pounds. Definitely an interior offensive lineman. Bump Penn State's recruiting class solidly inside the top 20. It was not... Now, I know Big Ten Media Days were going on the same day. Not much fanfare. Is it almost to the point where Penn State gets a 4-star elite player, top 15 in the country, top 300 overall? And Penn State fans are like, oh, yeah, okay, that's what we expect. But
fair question.
It kind of felt that way, but I'm like, this kid's pretty good.
Yeah, you know, it's a fair question. I think it was more of a situation where he was just overshadowed by, well, two things. Number one, he was overshadowed by the events in Chicago. But then beyond that, I think that, you know, you get a kid like this who, guys, you know as well as I do. I mean, he's probably, you know, if you talk about, and I'm not saying this is the case, but I'm just saying hypothetically, I mean, he could have been committed to Penn State for 6 months before announcing.
Right.
I mean, there's never been another hint that somebody else was leading in this recruitment. There's never been a sign that the Lions were going to lose him. I mean, they have led pretty much from the day they offered. So I think that might be another factor in this one, too, is that, you know, people, fans that are following this, that listen to the show, that, you know, have read about Salim Wormley's recruitment, they say, wow, this kid's really good. And there's probably some people out there that already assumed he was committed to Penn State, and they saw the headlines and must have probably thought, oh, that's for an old story. I thought he committed a long time ago because, like we said, he's a guy that seemingly has been, you know, ready to commit for any at any second for about 4, 5, 6 months now. And he finally pulls the trigger. Big, big get for Penn State.
Well, also, Greg, wasn't there a bit from the Penn State fans? It sounded like the finalists were Penn State and Rutgers. And the thought was, if those are your two options, where's he going to go?
Right, right. So, I mean, yeah, Notre Dame was certainly in play at a point, but with four interior offensive linemen already in their class, it's hard for me to think that they were going to take a fifth, even though I'm sure they would have loved to have a player of the caliber of Wormley. He's just, you know, a guy that probably waited too long to commit if he wanted to go to Notre Dame. However, he never showed signs of wanting to go anywhere but Penn State. So Lions are able to lock him up and take care of business and get a guy that they hope can come in and, you know, maybe change his body a little bit, but be ready to go early on because he's certainly big enough to do it.
Fantastic. As always, Mr. Greg, thank you so much for calling in from Chicago. We appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your trip. And we are going to have next up Todd Sadowski from Fox 43, also in Chicago, with Greg Pickle and Bob Flounders. I'm sure they're all having a great time out there. Stay tuned. We are going to be right back.
Summer with Labatt Blue. To have a can't do this anywhere but Pennsylvania summer. Hit the waters with paddles, backflips, cannonballs, and cap things off with a bonfire and Labatt Blue. Soak it in with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue light loving Pennsylvania cans, celebrating Pennsylvania's summer spots. While supplies last, beer Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you, so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.